us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for your love and grace in our lives, which keeps us, which protects us, which pushes us to new adventures for you. And God, we ask that as we continue to seek you, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. God, that you would cause us to hear your still small voice. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my savior. Amen. Yay! Happy New Year! Yay! Thank you, Michelle. Yay! Happy New Year! Didn't you know we have entered into the season of Advent, which is the beginning of the Christian calendar year? Yay! Happy New Year! Oh, man, tough crowd. You remember the season of Advent, though, is a time when people get out the Christmas lights and put out lights on their homes and bring out a Christmas tree and decorate it. They go shopping until they either drop dead tired or have maxed out their credit card, whichever comes first. They overindulge in food and party and go see family and friends they rarely ever see because maybe they don't get along with someone in the family. Right? No. No, it's a season of Advent where we await the arrival of a notable person, an important person. And for most of us gathered here, the focus of that season or that birthday is for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if we do the lights and trees and shop and eat and visit on top of that, hopefully we do it with love and caring in mind. As Advent is a time when we wait for the birth of our Savior. Now, if this is the end game, the focus of the season, then we should begin the season with the end in mind, right? I'm sure when they began building the pyramids in Egypt, they didn't start by laying these 2-ton blocks of rock down on the ground, and then all of a sudden they had this triangular structure in place with secret passages and a final resting chamber for the Pharaoh. No, I'm sure they created plans, and at the beginning they had the end in mind. Think of the many things that need to be put in place with any kind of building or home. There's the water supply. Where's that coming from? The city or well? Where's the used water going to go? A septic or a sewer? How about electricity? What kind of gas will we have? The pipes, the wiring, the insulation. We haven't even begun to talk about the structure itself and what kind of materials, what kind of rooms we will have. Imagine the planning for a high-rise building, whether it's a work environment or an apartment complex, the planning that has to start at the beginning so that in the end you'll have what you want. Without some type of understanding about the end, how can you ever really begin? I don't know that you can. And when we think about Advent, we keep the end in mind. We celebrate the waiting for the Christ child to be born, the one who will come to set all of God's people free. It is both the beginning and the end. When the Messiah comes, God is ushering in a new covenant, a new beginning. And this means that the existing covenant, the covenant of the law, is coming to an end. So with the beginning, there is an end. But even though the Messiah comes, it's still just the beginning of the beginning, because the covenant will not be truly available until this baby grows up and gets hung on a cross. And even though the covenant of law will end, we still use those laws to some degree in our lives, to keep order in this world. The people who formed this nation used those laws as a framework for the laws in which we live under. When I look at the story of a man, when I look at the story of man from a biblical perspective, there have been many beginnings. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, the greatest creation being humans, right? The only part of creation created in God's image. We should feel special. We should feel honored to be created in God's image. Humans created for the express purpose of living their lives not only in the presence of God, not only taking care of what God created, not only loving each other, but to love God too. To talk to and listen to God, to care for one another, and know that God created us to love one another. Even though the beginning was great, Adam and Eve walking in the cool of the day with God quickly fell apart. All before the next generation was even born. Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and as a result, sin entered the world. And the consequences were more than just being kicked out of the plush garden that God had provided them. It impacted every person after. In fact, we're all born with a sin nature. You know, it's basically that bent to live life on our own terms, to not listen to or to obey God. And even if we wanted to follow God's way, we tend to find a way not to. If not by what we do, it's by what we think. You know, pride, delight in others' failures, desiring what's not ours, or simply just not caring for anyone else but our little self. One way or another, we have all fallen short when it comes to being obedient to God. It got so bad after Adam and Eve, people being wicked all the time, that God would have to begin again, and he could only find one person with a family who was faithful, and that person was Noah. Lots of water, only one family left to repopulate the earth. Eventually, God would begin again with Abraham and Sarah. A nation would grow, be enslaved, be set free. It's a God thing, setting people free, isn't it? Over and over again, God would set his people free. Yet eventually they wanted a king like the other nations around them instead of God. So God allowed them to begin with kings. Yet most of the kings would fail to keep God first. The kingdom would then become divided. The northern kingdom was overthrown and it was scattered. The southern kingdom held out a little longer, but they too were overthrown. And then there were those quiet years. How many years? 400 years of silence since God last spoke to his people through the prophets. People were waiting for God to come, waiting for God to regroup his people that had been scattered, waiting for God to establish the heavenly kingdom here on earth, waiting for the light of God to break into the darkness. So many people. So much darkness. God had the beginning. God began with the end in mind. The promise for years had been that God would send the Messiah who would set the captives free. For many Israelites, they thought this freedom was simply freedom from the Roman occupation. Those Romans who ruled their land. But for God, the end was setting people free from the power of sin and the power of death. The end for the Israelites was freedom from Rome, although other empires would have probably come and put them into captivity again. The end for God was a forever and ever relationship that nobody could ever take away from them. I wonder, what is the end that you keep in mind? Hoping to make it through till the next check comes in? Hoping the kids will be able to tackle their futures well? Hoping that no one will guess how insecure we really feel? Or is the end that you keep in mind to seek and become more like Christ? To be more dependent on God, to show you the way that you should live your life, to help others to know the deep love of God through Jesus Christ. The light of God in Jesus did come in a most unexpected way. A baby who grew into a man. This Jesus would do miracles, would heal people, would teach, yet he wasn't the dissident rebel leader calling on an uprising against Rome. He didn't teach the Jews how to make weapons or to fight. He didn't show them how to march upon the government or break curfews. He didn't even tell them not to pay their taxes. In fact, in one of his teachings, he begins to tell his disciples what is to come, how this kingdom will be ushered in. You see, it'll start with the temple being torn down so that no one stone will stand on another stone. Many will tell you that they are me before I come back. And in verse 10, Jesus says this, read it with me. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilence in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. They will hand you over. They will hand you over to the synagogues and put you in prison, and you will bear testimony for me. Wow, this doesn't sound talk from a conquering hero who's ready to set up a new kingdom. Whoa, Jesus, what are you talking about? And if this doesn't confuse the disciples, it starts getting unworldly. Read it with me. But before all of this, they will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you synagogues and put you in prison. And so you will bear testimony to me. Here's the scripture. There will be signs, sun, moon, and stars on the earth. Nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. And then Jesus says, people will faint in terror. In terror. Do you know this terror that will cause you to faint? Apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Holy smokes, Lord, really? Remember, God foretold through the prophets that these events must happen prior to the final establishment of heaven on earth. The end. Beginning with the end in mind, God sends Jesus, his son, to prepare the hearts and minds, our hearts, our minds, of all the people and us today so that we might all understand what events must unfold. In part, all that Jesus did not only proved who he was, the Son of God, that in his death on the cross, all of our sins would be wiped clean that had kept people from a distance or at a distance from God. But his foretelling of these events that must take place before true peace would come on earth, these would need to be taken seriously, as they were not taken very seriously by the establishment back then. And Jesus finished that by telling them this. At that time they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. O come, Emmanuel. As we prepare during this season to celebrate the first coming of the Messiah who lived and died that we might be set free from sin, that we might have hope for a future, an eternal future where there is no longer any pain, sorrow, or suffering. That we might live this life celebrating God, helping others to know the joy and freedom now of knowing Jesus. Now. As we prepare to rejoice at the birth of our Savior Jesus, seek to order your life. That you can enjoy the merriment of the season, but not get caught up in a tree or a man in a red suit as a reason for the season. As we prepare to rejoice at the birth of our Savior Jesus, seek to order your life now to allow the true light of God into your life so that others might discover through you, through your life, the deep love of God who would send His Son to us that we might know true life, that we might know true love. As you prepare to rejoice at the birth of our Savior Jesus, seek this Advent to order your life after Jesus so that you would seek more deeply to know God through the Scriptures, through time in prayer, through authentic worship, and sharing these things with others. Come, come, Lord Jesus, come. As God spoke through the prophet Jeremiah, one of the last prophets to speak for God before those 400 silent years. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I made to the people of Israel and Judah. In those days, at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, our Lord, the righteous Savior. Begin this season with not only this end in mind, but the resurrection in mind. O come, not just the first time, Emmanuel. O come, and reestablish heaven on earth, Emmanuel. Let us pray. God, how can we thank you enough for your return? How can we thank you enough for all the joy that we have being in your presence? Night and day we pray that we might see you again. Night and day we pray that you would supply what is lacking in our faith. Make clear the path, Lord. Make clear the path for you to come. May your love increase and overflow in each of our lives and for everyone else around us, that they might know you, the one true God. Strengthen our hearts, Lord, so that we will remain blameless and holy before you when our Lord Jesus comes again with all of his holy ones. We ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.